We hope today's edition of The Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray,
Good morning. You are tuned in to the Hour of Power, the most powerful hour of the day. I'm Tina Dobbs, sitting in the driver's seat this morning. My sister in Christ, Monica Lovell, is over there running the iPad for us. And our guest this morning is Sister Judy Gifford Parker. How are you this morning?
I'm all right. I'm alive. God is good.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So good to see you this morning.
Thank you.
Yes, it's on.
Pull that a little closer. There you go.
Turn it up a little. Okay. If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send them to us three ways. You can email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837. And you can comment on the Facebook post, and we'll do our best to get it on paper and pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and I'll do my best to get those uploaded shortly after the program has ended. Our Facebook sponsor for today is Barbara Dyson Ford in Elk City. If you're in the market for a new or used vehicle, you can contact them. They can find you what you're looking for, even if it's a used Dodge or Nissan. They can find it for you. Please like, share, and comment to let us know you're joining us, even if it's the replay. We like to hear from our listeners and viewers. I think I covered it all. Sister Judy, would you like to pray to start us out?
Father, we thank you today for life, for breath, for strength, that you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that there's nothing too hard for you. That, Lord, you look down upon us today with love and compassion, that you delight in us, Lord. I pray today that Jesus' name might be lifted up, that you will receive the glory and the honor. And, oh God, today you will give us what we need, and that the food that comes forth will be bread from heaven. Not that I am anything. I know I'm nothing without you, but you're everything. So I ask you to bless all of us in this room and do your work through us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I love your title this morning.
Yes.
Jesus.
You've loved him for a long time, haven't
yes,
you?
Yes, I have.
You know, that's the central word of all the universe. That's the central figure of all the universe. Mm-hmm. It's the powerful name. It's the name that Bible says that at that name, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. And because he is Lord, he is in control of all things. He's in control of our lives. He is the one we call on. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Praise the Lord. That wonderful. I tell them at the nursing home all the time. Whosoever. And we are whosoever.
I'm a whosoever.
I'm a whosoever. So whosoever shall call. And I will tell them, I can't call for you. I would like to call for you. I can pray for you. I can pray you will call. But each individual person has to call themselves. And I've said there's many ways to call. The thief on the cross, he just looked at Jesus and said, remember me when you come to your kingdom, which showed he was calling to him. He was talking to him. He was asking for mercy. He was asking him when he comes. He knew. I was showing faith. He knew he was going to have a kingdom. He knew he was the Son of God. And the Bible says that he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So we know that that guy, in the way he called, he showed all of that. He believed that God would reward him for calling. He believed there was a God. He believed God would hear. He believed Jesus was coming into a kingdom. He believed he was the Messiah. He saw him probably do miracles in the streets and heard of the miracles that he did. And he just looked at him and said, remember me. Then he turned to the other guy and basically said, shame on you for what you're saying to him, because the other guy was railing on him. If you be the Son of God, get us and yourself off this cross. He had no faith whatsoever. The Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. And he that cometh to him, as I quoted just a second ago, must believe that he is. And there's a lot of people that have trouble with that. Their eyes are on, say, Buddha or other things, or just blinded to the fact that living their lives and blinded to the fact that there is a God who sees, who hears, who knows. One lady that comes to my mind that a pastor, she was saying that she just couldn't believe. She was having trouble believing that God would hear her prayer. And the pastor said, "You don't think he's hearing your prayer?" And she said, "No, I don't think he's hearing my prayer." And he said, "Well, would you just cuss for me? Would you cuss for me?" And she said, "Well, no." He said, "Why?" "Well, he would hear." Mm. "Oh, well, he will hear you say a cuss word, but he won't hear your prayer." Oh, yeah. Even when we don't think God is watching, God is there. And sometimes there was this women's conference we had in October, and they showed a video that I just wept and wept. But it was a daddy and a daughter, and they lived together. And it showed them running together. She liked to run and to walk and to run. And it showed them playing and all the fun they would have. And then it shows that it showed her going blind. And he's the daughter's going blind. And the daughter wakes up in bed, and she's blind, and she can't. She's like, "Dad? Dad, Dad, where are you? Dad, I need your help. Come, Dad." And Dad never did come. She finally got up out of bed. She went to the sink to try to find the sink and try to get a drink. And she dropped the glass and burst glass everywhere. And she went over to the closet. "Daddy, where are you?" And she tried to close and put some clothes on. And she was trying to live her life, trying to find something to eat, and Daddy wasn't around. Daddy was gone. He had abandoned her. "Daddy, I can't believe you would leave me. Daddy, I can't see. Where are you? Why won't you come help me, Daddy?" And it showed her going through, trying to get her life together. And finally, she had some clothes on. She was outside walking, and she was started trying to trot and run along and do life, kind of live, you know. And she was headed for a drop off, and just before she got there, her daddy grabbed her and held her and said, "Oh, my precious daughter, I've been here all along, but I had to pull back so you would learn to do something for yourself." And I mean, I just wept. He showed up just right at the right moment. She thought she was totally alone, but he was wanting her to know how to get out of bed and go get a drink of water and go get her some clothes, you know. But he'd been in the background all along. He'd never left her. He'd been at her house. He'd been there watching her sleep. He had been there, but he just wouldn't make his presence known so he could grow her. And it showed him sitting at the doctor's office before he did this and said, "But it's my precious daughter. What am I going to do? She's going blind." But then he was just absent. And "I can't believe you would abandon me." And it's kind of like that when the guy's walking in the sand, and his kid looks back over his life and sees the two set of footprints. And then he sees one set, and he says, "Lord, I don't understand why in my hardest times you abandoned me." And he says, "No, child, that's when I carried you." And, you know, sometimes we don't hear him and we don't see him and we can't see him moving in the circumstances, and we prayed all we know to pray and we're exhausted with the situation and we don't know what to do. But just, and it might be 4 days late, but it's always just on time, just like it was with Lazarus. He waited 4 days and had to let them go through the suffering in order that they might see the glory. That they might take one step up above, that they might be greater, and they might grow spiritually and know that he's not only a healer, he resurrects the dead, he's the giver of life. And so when you're going through those hard trials and you don't know why it seems like you're by yourself, you're not. You're really not. God has not abandoned you, but he's letting you figure some things out. Mm-hmm. He's letting you grow so that you can have a base. Because if your roots are that long, when the hard wind comes, you're going to blow over. Mm-hmm. You're not going to be able to take it. When you meet the raw face of the devil, you've got to have something within that is strong, that those roots are deep, that's going to hold you when the wind blows and when the liar comes and when the tempter comes. And the Bible tells us to search out the word of God and to put on the whole armor of God. And there's things we need to do that we can grow so that when the enemy comes, we won't be a pushover. Mm-hmm. And I tell you what, if you have lived very long for the Lord, you've had to learn not to be a pushover. Mm-hmm. You have had to learn how to find the word, the truth. The Bible says, if you know the truth, you will know the truth, it says. You will know the truth. And when you know the truth will set you free. As long as we operate in lies, do you know, if there is a lie in the middle of something, when the machinery is working, when it hits that, it's gonna clog up. It's gonna be, it's like somebody stuck a piece of wood in a piece of machinery or something. You know what? It's gonna cause you trouble. It's gonna try to deflect you off the way of righteousness. Somebody put something on a railroad track to try to get the train wheels to derail. That's the enemy's purpose. And the more you're close to the Lord, I think, the more, let's say it this way, the more the devil sees you as a threat. Get ready. I heard Evie Hill the other day say, there's some of you, you ain't no important. You ain't no important at all. That's so cute the way he talks. And he says, the devil ain't afraid of you. He don't even bother you. Those out there, the devil don't even bother you because you ain't important. Because you ain't no threat to his kingdom. But there's others out there that you've walked through hell and high water. Mm-hmm. That's because you're in a position. You're in a place. You're doing working for God. And the devil sees you as a threat. So he's coming after you. So what you got to do, child of God, is you got to get on that armor. You got to get that helmet of salvation in place and know who you are. Who am I? I'm saved, sanctified, filled with the Spirit, and I have a purpose. I'm on my way to heaven, and today I'm going to reach somebody for Jesus. Today I'm going to do all I can do for Jesus. And I'm going to clean my house. I'm going to clean it with a purpose so my family can be happy, so there's less chaos in this family, so things work smoother. I'm gonna love my kid. I'm gonna be kind to my husband, even when he says snotty things. I'm going to do the will of the Lord today. You got to know who you are. You put on that helmet of salvation, that breastplate of righteousness. Well, I could have chose to do this thing over here, but no, that's not the best way. I could have chose to shade that a little bit, but no, I think truth and fact are better. And you know what? We choose each day how we're going to do it. We'll put on that blessed plate of righteousness. I'm going to shod my feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I'm going to be firm, and I'm going to stand in that peace. I'm going to get a hold of the word, and I'm going to stand on it, and it's going to give me peace, and I'm going to be able to share that. I'm going to grab the word of God, which is my sword against the enemy. So what did Jesus do when the enemy came to him? Went straight to the word. He didn't start arguing. I agree with Evie. Don't dialogue with the devil. You're going to lose. Do you ever try to dialogue with him? I do sometimes. I don't even mean it really as I'm doing it. And I'll start dialoguing. Or just start listening. You start listening to his lies. And it is so big that it's like, and it's all just a smoke screen. Mm-hmm. And so we have to go, no, here's truth. What does Jesus do? He goes, it is written. Mm-hmm. Every time he just said, it is written. I would like to hear his voice, how he said it. Did he just simply say, it is written? Or did he turn and say, it's written? You know, whatever he did was very commanding, as the devil just dropped that. What can he do again? It's written. Well, the devil didn't write nothing, and the devil didn't have nothing to, he don't have nothing. If the devil tells you he has pleasure for you, it's going to be very minute, anything, and it's going to turn into a bondage. Mm-hmm. And it's going to turn into depravity. It's going to turn into misery for you and dead end somewhere along the line. And then you're going to say, woe is me. How have I not obeyed my counselors? That's what it says in Proverbs. Why have I not obeyed those who've instructed me? And, you know, we've all got instructions from little kids. We learned when we were young, if we go stick our hand on top of the hot stove, we're going to be suffering for it. If we go out and stand in the middle of the highway, there's bad consequences of that thing. But you know what? We got to learn that the word of God is true, and every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God is powerful, and there is a victory. There is a victory in hearing the truth, knowing the truth, obeying the truth, and just say to the devil, well, that can't be true. He said, call the devil a liar, E.V. did. He said, he'd come up to you and he'd tell you, you ain't even saved. And you say, well, you liar, look here, it's written. If I confess my sins, he is faithful and just to forgive my sins and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Liar, get out. I love how I watch him when I get a chance. I heard him this week. You see, all his steps coming out. I prayed. I called a prayer chain this week, and the one from Andrew Womack up there, they pray with you. And this little girl had some kind of foreign accent, but she just said, I have a word for you. I had just said that morning and asked the Lord, I said, Lord, I want the fear of the Lord. I want the fear of the Lord. I don't want to fear the devil. I don't want to fear anything. But I want the fear of the Lord, which is an honor and respect. And she said, a scripture that comes to my mind is Isaiah 11:2. It says, the spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And she had no idea I prayed that prayer. And I just thought it was sweet. And then she said, and another one comes to mind, and it's Psalms 107:19-20. Then they cried out to the Lord in their troubles, and he saved them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. When in distress, call. When in need, call. And all of y'all sitting in this room, you've done a lot of calling. And the Lord has done a lot of healing. And the Lord, what I like, is he just don't heal off the top. He goes clear to the very core from the day you were born, and he starts making the crooked straight for you. That we don't miss the way of righteousness, that we don't miss our intended purpose in life. We have to have him working in us and straightening our thoughts and straightening our thinking. And helping us all along the way. Because this is a journey we can't do by ourselves. It's a journey that only we can call on the name of the Lord. We trust him. We walk with him. And we do what the Bible says. We do what the Bible says do. And don't do what the Bible says don't do. Just like you want our kids to do. If your mother ever told you, because I said. That's because I said. That should be enough. Do you ever just wonder why something and why the Lord's telling you to do something or why the word says something? He just says, because I said. Because right now you can't understand the why. You can't. I've had some people ask the Lord a question. He'd say, if I told you, you wouldn't understand it anyway. So just trust me. So we have to trust him. Back to E.V., he said, Reverend E.V. Hill, he said his wife died at about 50 years old. And he asked the Lord, why? She was so young. Why did you take her so young? And the Lord said, what's wrong with going into heaven and home young? What's wrong with that? Getting to go into that beautiful city young. And that was, you know, it was an answer for him. But anyway, we look to the Lamb of God. There is a song that says, are you weary? Are you heavy laden? Tell it to Jesus. And that's what we have to do. There's another little song that says, I must tell Jesus all of my troubles. I cannot bear these burdens alone. If I but ask him, he will deliver. He ever loves and cares for his own. When we were first married, were pastoring in Frederick, Oklahoma. And I found out I was expecting. That means pregnant for the new generation. we actually took 3 Sundays at that church to make an $87 car payment. And that was before we ate. That was just the car payment. And he's like, how in the world are we going to have money to have a baby? And he was just, all this was just coming up and worried his mind. And we went to a church service somewhere, and 3 little girls got up and sang, I must tell Jesus all of my troubles. I cannot bear these burdens alone. And as they were singing, the Lord touched his heart. And such peace flooded his heart. And it wasn't real long till we were called by a church up in Pueblo to come and look into being a youth pastor up there. And we wound up going up there, and I had my baby in Pueblo, Colorado, you know, and there was plenty of salary to do what we needed to do. And God, if financially, whatever your trouble is, if you will tell it to Jesus and you will go to Jesus, Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Learn of me. Take my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He never puts on you more than you can bear. If you've got more than you can bear, then you need to run to the foot of Jesus, and you need to pour it out to him. There's a song that says, oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. And why do we pray? I had a list back here somewhere. I'm looking through all my old notes and realize I messed up these notes about like I mess up my refrigerator sometimes. And hodgepodge anywhere. You have to look all over. One woman, she said, I am so messy. And she said, my husband does the floors. And she said, I asked to do it. And he said, oh, no. Well, I'll do it or we'll hire it done. And she said, and he came to me. And he says, what's this growing in the refrigerator? And something had spoiled in Tupperware. He said, you know how long it takes something to spoil in Tupperware? He said, how long? I don't know. But, you know, we get our lives frayed like that sometimes. And that's when we need to learn how to organize. But anyway, praying has solved many a problems. Praying has solved many a problems. What do you do? You bear it. You carry it. You get frustrated. And after a while, it's too heavy. You have to take it to Jesus. Or else you're just downcast, burdened, angry, upset, begin to carry hate. And the enemy begins to take more territory and more territory in your mind until you can just go, wait, 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 wait. This is not right. I gotta find truth in this situation, and I don't even know where to begin, so I'm just going to go to Jesus. It says, cast your care upon me because I care for you, he says. So be a good caster instead of a good carrier, because you can just carry until it becomes too frustrating. Then what do? Snap out at people you don't mean to snap out at, and say or do something you really wish you hadn't said or done. But if you can run to Jesus, even if like you girls talk about praying in your car, you just pray in your car and run. That's one thing I catch Aaron doing all the time is he'll be going into the bedroom, and I hear this little voice going, oh, Jesus, Jesus. And he had just a high, low voice, and he's just calling out on the Lord and seeking the Lord. So anyway, God has so much for you. Do we need to pray? Is it time?
Okay. On my way in this morning, I was spending time with my Jesus, and we're all broken. We've all been hurt. We've all lost. And whenever we cry out to Jesus and accept him as Lord, he moves in, the Holy Spirit. We invite him to move into our hearts and be Lord of our life.
Yeah.
And that's getting the ointment. That's the ointment. He's the anointed. He's the anointed one. So he's the anointment to my spirit, to my soul. Mm-hmm. Now, you can have that ointment if you have a cut. You're not gonna pour gasoline on it. You're not gonna pour nonsense on it. You're gonna get some antibiotic ointment cream to help it heal. So whenever we cry out to the Lord and we ask him to be Lord of our life, that's our antibiotic ointment. Okay? Yeah. Now, there's another part to that. You can have that ointment. You can have it. But have you opened it? Have you applied it? The Word of God, whenever, and it was so sweet, the Word of God is the actual opening. It opens that ointment. When we put our eyes and we put the Word of God in us, when we open our Bible and we read it, and we apply God's Word to our life, and we do the best we can to live by God's Word, then we heal. And like a cut, the skin begins to grow together and heals. Now, if all of us, and this is what we got to understand, y'all, we've got to be more compassionate toward each other, because we've all been hurt. We've all been cut. We're broken. But the Lord makes us brand new, not broken new. And all of us broken pieces, when we come together, we create the most beautiful body for the head, our Lord Jesus Christ, the high priest. So I want to encourage y'all today, when you go out and about, don't look at what's wrong with someone. Don't look at what's wrong with them. Don't look at the herky-jerkies. Don't look at the sores. Don't look at the raggedy clothes, the dirty hair, the whatever it is. Look deeper. They're part. They are. Whether they have received it or not, they are a child of God. Period. God created them. Period. And God desires a relationship, a right relationship with them. Period. Who am I? Who am I to decide how God is going to do something? Who am I to judge and decide how the Lord is going to woo them to him? Let's look deeper, y'all. Let's just look deeper. And when you see someone, pray. Put your ointment on them through prayer. We do have a few prayer requests. I can't see. I'm leaking. I'm leaking, y'all.
Your eyes leak, your head won't swell.
Yeah. Okay, let's pray for Skylar Cook. Skylar Cook asked for prayers for her little girl, Journey Grace, who had a febrile seizure last night and is still fighting fever. This morning she is at the hospital with another daughter, Bibi, getting her tonsils out. Aww.
Yeah, they got a lot of things going on.
Right.
Pray for an Elk City man, Raymond Stallman, who went missing Wednesday. He has a medical condition that causes confusion. Lord, you know where he's at. Yeah. You know right where he's at, Lord. Yeah. Lord, show someone. In the name of Jesus, we ask that you show somebody. Through your Holy Spirit, reveal to someone where he is at, Lord. Yeah. In the name of Jesus, we ask that you just clear the confusion. If he is somewhere and confused, we ask that you clear the confusion and lead him home. Lead him home, Lord God, safe and sound. Let him know that it is you that is covering him and guiding him home, Lord God, in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, we speak to the seizures. In the name of Jesus, we call you out, seizures. You bow in the name of Jesus Christ. You have no right to invade this child of God. In the name of Jesus, we command and demand that you drop and bow in the name of Jesus. Yes. And we command you to go back to the enemy's camp. Yes. And cause your destruction there. Because you have no right. You are trespassing on holy property. That child is a child of God. And you have no right. No rights. We cancel you and we send you back to the pit of hell where you belong. We send you back to the enemy's camp. Take your destruction and your chaos and confusion back to the enemy's camp. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I'd like you to pray for my brother. He's in a lot of pain, and that they would find what this is and are able to, Lord, to touch him and heal it.
Our friend Mandy also has one.
Okay. In the name of Jesus, we call Judy's brother. In the name of Jesus, we call this pain forward. We say bow in the name of Jesus. You're trespassing on holy property, and we serve your eviction today. You're served right now in the name of Jesus. You will bow and you will go back to the enemy's camp. You have no rights. In the name of Jesus, you have no rights. Yes. To this man of God. Yes. He has been purchased and paid for by, yes, by the blood of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. So you have no right to come against this man, yes, of God.
Amen.
He is covered by the Lamb's blood.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus, bow and go.
Friend and faithful listener Mandy Wagner also asked us to continue to pray for Troy Love, who's still on a ventilator.
In the name of Jesus, we speak to the spirit of Python. You have no right. In the name of Jesus, we command you to loose your grip. Uncoil yourself around from around God's people. You have tried to take my very breath. And we will not stand here and let you and watch you take the breath of God's people, our brothers and sisters. In the name of Jesus, we command God's breath to return. We demand and command in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, God, we ask you to put your breath back in this man. Fill his lungs with your very breath, just like you did with Adam. You are for life, not death. You don't take your people. You receive your people. So in the name of Jesus, we speak life and abundance. We speak life in the name of Jesus. We command and demand the enemy to cease. loose, let go. You have no right. You're being served today. In the name of Jesus, we command and demand that you bow. You bow to the name of Jesus, the name above every name, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Devil, you're nothing. You're a defeated foe. By the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ.